Well, tonight's last night already. Praise the Lord. Sure good to see you all. Isn't it good to be in church on a Monday night in Mayville? Praise the Lord. M&M, Mayville Monday. Praise. Hey, I want to just publicly thank the pastors for inviting me. And this is the fifth year we've done this, and we've always had a great time. And not only do I get to minister, but I'm ministered to as well, revelation and light. And so thank you, pastors, and also all the ministry of helps. You know, we put meetings on, and you pastors know it's not something that you just do lightly. There's a lot of work, a lot of expense involved. And so thank you. Thank you, pastors. Thank you for the ministry helps. And, of course, thank you all for showing up. How many know the pastor can put me in a hotel and have things ready and prepared, and no one shows up, we can't have a meeting. We at least need to be two or three for a meeting to happen. And so we got that and more, praise the Lord. So thank you, thank you, thank you, all that came. Now I'm going to ask the million-dollar question. How many here, this is your first meeting in the Mayville meetings? All right, now I'm going to have you stand and come up and testify. No, I'm not. And tell us, where have you been? We had church last night. I got that from Lester Summerall. Praise the Lord. But I wanted to know, just, you know, as we minister, you know, who wasn't here that way. We want everyone to receive all that the Spirit of God has for us. So praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open them again to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. How many been blessed so far? Yeah. Yay, 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 yay. I know I have. Praise the Lord. We'll just give a moment for pages to stop turning, unless they go on for more than 5 minutes. Pages turning, pages turning, pages turning. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these meetings. Thank you for all that you've done for us thus far. And Father, we know the principle in the Bible, we go from glory to glory. So Father, we fully expect for greater glory to be made manifest tonight. And we understand, Father, you have a plan and purpose for every service. And Father, we hunger for that plan. We hunger for that purpose. We want your words to be said. We want your deeds to be done. We want your glory to be made manifest. Father, help us tonight to hit the mark. Father, help us to yield to you, to understand what you're doing in these last days. And Father, you said your people will be willing in the day of power. Well, the day of power is upon us. Help us to be that willing vessel. Help us be the generation that gets this job done. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night I took for a text, Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 23, and we're going to read it again. We're just going to do a slight review for those of you that weren't here by the raise of your hands, and other of you that didn't raise your hand, that I know you weren't here last night. Praise the Lord. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save or except that the Holy Ghost witnesses or testifies in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Now, we may mention this is a very cheery verse to have Holy Ghost meetings, but what we're doing is looking at a biblical principle. You know, these are Holy Ghost meetings, and in this verse or these verses, we do read mentioning the Holy Ghost, and in it we see how the Holy Ghost operates. And so Paul here is saying that, You know, he's heading to Jerusalem, and of course, he just doesn't make a beeline to Jerusalem. He's preaching, teaching in various cities and getting in various meetings. Some are recorded, some are not recorded in the Bible. But he said this, in every city, wherever he goes, the Holy Ghost is witnessing, or the Holy Ghost is testifying to him, bearing witness in his own spirit, also speaking through others, that bonds and afflictions await him. And we drew your attention to the fact that that is how the Holy Ghost operates. When there's something important, something imperative, something the Lord wants you to get, or something the Lord is trying to get over to the body of Christ, he'll not just say it once. He'll say it over and over and over and over again. We don't know how many times the Spirit of God bore witness to Paul, that not only in his own life, his own prayer life, but also through others. And we looked at it last night, that here he said, man, it's happening over and over again. In the very next chapter, we see disciples telling him by the Spirit, hey, don't go up to Jerusalem. Then he goes to Philip's house, and Agabus the prophet comes all the way up just to give him a great, thus saith the Lord. Bonds and affliction. Whoever man, the man that owns this girdle, is going to be bound in Jerusalem. Notice again the Holy Ghost saying it over and over and over again. So we should never despise that. And it's for a purpose. And I'm grateful for the Holy Ghost that he does that. I'm so grateful he doesn't just say something once and expects us to get our whole lifetime. You know, and as I've made mention, we that are parents, when our kids are small, when they're 5 years old, you know, you go up to them and say, clean your room. How many know it isn't set for life? That, oh, yeah, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. For the rest of my life, I'm going to keep my room clean. I'm on top. You just need to say it once. But, you know, a good parent has to what? Say it over and over and over and over again. You know, and so until they get it, even when they do get it, you just say it anyway. And so, you know, the Bible says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, or know how to instruct your children, how much more your Father. And we also know this, that faith comes by hearing and hearing over and over again. So we should never despise that. And that's why you'll see that many times that people will get ministered to, and different prophets or the same prophets will say primarily the same thing over and over and over again. That's just the way the Holy Ghost does it. It's not that people are dense and unspiritual. God does that. And if the Holy Ghost says something and you only hear it once, put it on the shelf. Because if it's the Holy Ghost, he's going to say it again. He's going to say it again. There'll be no shadow of a doubt. How many times in our camp have we heard about a mighty move of God coming? It's once, right? You just heard it once. I mean, this thing started with Smith Wigglesworth, then Lester Sumrall, Brother Hagin, Randy Greer, Dr. Dufresne, over and over again. There is a move of the Spirit, Word and Spirit, that all the gifts of the Spirit, all the ministry gifts, again, the Spirit of God bears witness over and over and over again. And so, we established that fact, and I started last night sharing something that the Holy Ghost has been emphasizing to the body of Christ, and especially in our circles, and he's been doing it over and over again. What do I mean over and over again? When I get into prayer, when I get in the Spirit, you know, I pray in tongues, and then the Spirit of God starts speaking. When I operate in different offices, the Spirit keeps saying it over and over again. Why is that? He doesn't want anyone to miss it. And the more we hear it, the more faith we have for it, the more we know it's coming. And we know this if you've been following the ministry here. And the reason why God will speak to me, because I, in a sense, they call me the overseer of the family churches. I'm just an obedient to God, and whatever God wants to do, I'm fine. But how many know that's how God operates? He doesn't speak from the ground up. You know, he speaks from authority down. You know, you study the life of Moses. You know, all the people that had a word for Moses, it didn't go well. Yeah. You know, that tried to correct Moses. And that's why I want to encourage you, you never have a word for your pastor. God will never use you to correct your pastor. You know, just read the illustrations of the Bible, what happened when that happened. And it will encourage you not to do that. But how did, you know, if God wanted to get something over to Israel, who did God talk to? Moses. And if Moses needed correcting, you know, God corrected Moses, but also Jethro, his father-in-law, you know, an elder, someone that had authority into his life. And so that's the only reason why I believe that the Holy Ghost gives me these things, because of my position here, and not only in the family churches, but in the East. I know supernaturally I was called to the East. You know, I was sent here, and that's, you know, they call me an apostle. Apostle simply a sent one. Because when I left for Bible school back when I was 19, I said, I am never coming back to New York. Thank you. I have enough of the snow, the cold. I'm gone. And see, there's a lesson here. Never say never to God. Because that's the thing He will have you do. So I will never pastor in Hawaii or the Bahamas or Florida, have a ministry base there. But don't work that way, does it? And so, but I left. I left, and I was never going to return back to New York. I was going to go down south where everything's happening, and it's warm, too. But then I had a man of Macedonia experience, supernatural experience. Remember the man of Macedonia, come over here and help us. I had that supernatural experience that sent me back to New York, and so I was sent here. And, you know, we're just getting started. So, again, I say all these things. Why does the Spirit of God give me these things? It's just because right now I'm a voice in this position. And so the Spirit of God is bearing witness. In the last couple of years, He's been emphasizing the area of prayer, and it still is. And the Spirit of God keeps saying to me and keeps bearing witness that the church's part in these last days is to pray. And many of our meetings, like camp meeting, our Holy Ghost meetings, and you know, I refer to these things over and over again, that there is a necessity for the church to pray. That we understand this, that prayer makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. We know that when Dr. Dufresne was here and he saw those two angels come out of the Jamestown church, you know, twirling like a top, and God says, I'm going to do it again, this area, this region. What is he talking about? The things that happened in the days of Phinehas. I mean, where whole cities were won to the Lord. But if you study Phinehas' ministry, how was that accomplished? Through prayer. Finney, in his own words, he said, if I cease to have the spirit of prayer for a moment, I cease to be effective in the pulpit. I cease to be able to get people born again. And so God wants to do those things again in this region, but He also needs that prayer supply. So that's something He's been bearing witness. But of late, this past year, He's been emphasizing something that is so crucial and critical to us getting in the move of God. We know the Spirit of God saying there's a move of God in these last days. The God is going to move through the full measure of gifts of the Spirit, the full measure of the ministry offices. But he's been showing us what we need to do to get in line with that, to get cooperating with that. And so especially more and more, the last several months, He's been emphasizing the importance of light and easy. Now, in the start of the year, He said this year would be a year of easy receiving. And from that time, He began to unveil and unfold. You know, and to me, I think that's kind of odd, you know, easy receiving. Because you hear about ministry, it's supposed to be hard, you're supposed to sacrifice and so forth. But God over and over again has been emphasizing light and easy. And if you know my style of teaching, I certainly don't make it light and easy on anybody. Especially if you're a pastor. I'll be in your face and, you know, checking your underwear drawers and telling you to suck it up and so forth. But over, and so you know this isn't me. You know, it's the Holy Ghost. over and over again, you say the importance of light and easy. And just, I'm just going to do a slight review. In a couple of recent prayer meetings, and we have the two witnesses. My wife is here, isn't she beautiful up there? I just look at her and know I'm blessed. Amen. And Pastor Katie's here, so we got together and we prayed. And as I was praying, you know, I can't turn it on and off. I operate in offices. The Spirit of God said very strongly, "Stop," and says, "Have these two write these things down." And so, okay. And so, you know, we stopped the prayer meeting. The Holy Ghost stopped the prayer meeting, and he said he gave us three things. These things are required in order for you to get further in your ministry or to get the next level in God. And I'm just so grateful the Holy Ghost didn't leave me then. Because when he said, you know, there's three things, write these three things down. And I didn't know what I was going to say. I was going to hear it just like they did. And very interesting, the three steps were these. Number one, personal freedom. Number two, seeking God. And boldness. And he said this, unless you have the first two in place, the third will never happen. And we understand this when there's boldness. What did the early church pray? Grant to your servants with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching forth thy hand to heal. So boldness is necessary for the signs, miracles, and wonders. But he's shown us the steps that before you can really enter into the miraculous and be bold, the first two things must be in place. And the first thing he said was personal freedom. And like I shared last night, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Heaven's higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above your ways." To me, personal freedom really wouldn't be in the equation. You know, I teach endure hardness and, you know, that stuff. Be a soldier and so forth. But he kept saying, unless you learn light and easy, unless you have personal freedom, you'll never enter into what I have for you. And so he's bearing witness over and over again. And then I saw by revelation, you know, that many of us have cried for more. God, I want more God. I want more signs, more anointing, more miracles. I want to get to next level God. Have you prayed that? Yeah. You know, if you're hungry, you want more. We go from glory to glory. But I saw that many of us aren't in a position for more because the first two are not in place. Now, why don't we qualify? Well, you have to understand when there's more grace, more anointing, there's greater opposition. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, "A great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many blessings around that door." Now, if you know the Bible doesn't say that, there may be blessings on the other side of the door, but it says, "A great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries." Now, what do these adversaries do? They try to keep you out of the door more. And then I saw by revelation, if you aren't at peace, at joy, and have the victory where you are now, he can't give you more because you couldn't handle more. Because it will increase attacks, increase opposition. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul said this, "Lest I should be exalted above measure," he was being exalted by God, "through the abundance of revelation," so greater grace and revelation, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And again, we see Paul was being exalted. God was giving them greater grace, giving them more. And with that more came greater opposition. And so that's what the Lord has been showing us. We want more. We want all of these things. But yeah, we're not at peace. We don't have the victory now. And what are we going to do if we get more? It's just going to increase and it would destroy us. And so he's been emphasizing the importance of really getting your act together. You know, we think, well, living right. No, being at peace, being at rest, being full of joy and having the victory now, no matter what is you're going through now, is being at peace. And if you can handle peace at this level, then you'll qualify for peace at the next level. So, and again, another prayer meeting. So if you want God to speak, you have to be in a prayer meeting with Pastor Nancy and Pastor Katie. That's when God speaks. And so this November 21st, and again, what happens, we just praying, minding our own business, then tongues interpretation starts coming, then as God rules, that prophet's office kicks in. And these were just some of the utterances. Over and over again, the Spirit of God kept saying, the best is light and easy. The plan of God must be carried out, but without light and easy, people will do without. Notice the key, light and easy. The plan, getting in more. Being lighthearted and free must be in every circuit of our lives in order to have my full plan and purpose to be wrought in your lives. I'm just going to go down. He said this, light and easy must be in every aspect of our lives, not to be troubled or worried or in burden, not to have care. Nothing, absolutely nothing, qualifies us to have these weights and cares. Then he gave the scripture, lay aside every weight. Remember, it has to do with running your race. I've always interpreted that, you know, weights. You know what weights are. Too much time on Facebook. Watching too many sports, not praying. So, you know, stuff that isn't a sin, but it doesn't help you spiritually. And that could qualify for a weight. But I saw by revelation. That's why I love the Holy Ghost. You know what weights are? Worries, cares, anxieties. When you have worries, cares, and anxiety, that weighs you down and dulls you spiritually. I never saw that as a weight. And so that's why the Holy Ghost. You know, we're good at seeking and asking, but we have to also be in a position of receiving. He said, obey light and easy. Light and easy receives revelation, receives increase. And then he keeps telling me, this must be taught. You got to preach this. And he said this, this light and easy must be demonstrated for the next level of glory to be made manifest in the body of Christ. Then he read people mail about too many people busy, ministers being busy, going, and they're full of cares and anxieties. And the Spirit of God's free yourself from all worries, all anxieties and cares to enter into next level of glory. And then he went on how people keep asking for more, but they're troubled. They're full of anxieties and they can't receive more. And he said that these things are only received in a place of rest, revealed in a place of easy. And that is the place to receive. And so he said these truths, again, summing up, must be shared, must be taught, these truths must be obeyed for the glory of God to have full sway. And so we kind of showed you those things last night. So tonight, since the Holy Ghost is emphasizing light and easy, let's look at what do we mean by light and easy? What is it that we have to do? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. You know, religion has taught us it's hard, especially if you're in ministry. You know, there's scriptures, endure hardness. There's things you endure, but you can endure hardness with joy and peace. It didn't say you endure hardness doesn't say that it has to be hard on you. Yeah, and Jesus taught us this in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, because all the Bible agrees, you know. And so that's why we have to have the whole counsel of God. Notice, these are the words of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden. I mean, man, this is hard, this is rough. And notice what he says, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. And in context, he's talking about the work of the ministry, doing the will of God. This is what he's talking about. You shall find rest to your souls. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And see, this is what the Spirit of God's been emphasizing light and easy. And notice what Jesus said. And again, in context, he's talking about ministry, getting the job done. And he says, it's easy. It's light and easy. And he also tells us if it's hard and burdensome and you're weighed down, and man, it's so rough being a Christian. It's so rough being in ministry. You know, I'm discouraged here. You're doing it wrong. You're absolutely doing it wrong. And Jesus said, you got the wrong yoke. You got the yoke of the world, yoke of the devil. You don't have my yoke upon you. And he says, take my yoke. So if you're burdened, man, this is hard, this is rough. You got the wrong yoke. That's not the yoke of the Lord. And so he said, my yoke is easy. Say easy.
Easy.
My burden is light. Say light.
Light.
If it's not light and easy, you're doing it wrong. If it's not light and easy, you're carrying the wrong yoke. These are the words of Jesus. And notice, I'll give you rest. If you'll learn of me, I'll give you rest. Doing it his way will give you rest. If doing it right is light and easy. The Amplified Bible says, I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. That means no matter what God has for you, no matter what you've got to do, even sacrifice going through troublesome times, he says, it'll be easy to you. It'll be light and easy. You'll be refreshed in the midst of it if you learn it my way. And say, I like his way. Now notice this, he says, you shall find rest to your souls. Where's this rest going to come to? Your soul. What is your soul? Your mind, will, emotions. Where do we get burdened down full of anxieties and cares in our mind, our will, and emotions? Now, what's important to understand is this. He didn't say that you'll find rest in your circumstance, that all of a sudden everything's going to be calm and nice and easy, that, you know, serving God, all your circumstances are going to line up very pretty for you. No, Jesus said, you take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said, he that is faithful to death shall receive a crown. So what is he talking about? Light and easy no matter what you're doing. It's not light and easy outwardly. It's light and easy inwardly. And I truly believe that was the revelation God gave Paul when he besought the Lord three times. Let this thing pass from me. He says, my grace is sufficient. He said, you're wanting to change it out here. Change it in here. See, too many of us, precious, lovely Christians, and I'm one of them, we pray God to change this, change that, make that better. Increase there. I want more people in my church. I want my finances up. I want all my kids to behave. I want everything. And amen. If all my ducks in a row, I can be happy. And that's what we pray all the time. And now, thank God we can use our faith. We can pray and change circumstance. But God has a better way for you. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants it light and easy, no matter if all hell is breaking loose. And this is the thing we got to get into in order to get into more. Light and easy. More and more as I've been studying this, light and revelation is coming. You remember Jesus when he got in the boat with his disciples. And what did he say? Let us, all of us, pass over to the other side. There's something greater on the other side. We can say this, a great door and effectual was opened to him. And what happened? It was a sunny day, and the wind just blew the boat the nice way. And man, they just laid out on the deck, sunned themselves, and drank iced tea. It was wonderful. It was like a cruise ship. Now what happened? A storm came. Notice a door. He said, you got to get there. A door and effectual. And many adversaries. And again, a storm came. How did Jesus handle the storm? He was asleep on a pillow. That was rest. Notice he had rest in the test. Undisturbed. Unmoved. He was acting like there was no test in his life. And that's where God wants us. All hell can be breaking loose, but does it show up on your face? Does it show up in your talk? Does it show up on Facebook and Instagram? And okay? But notice how the disciples responded. They were troubled by the trouble. Because trouble, when God is getting us more, there will be trouble come. I'm sorry, it happens. But how do you respond to it? Do you respond troubled? Oh my God, you're at unrest, you walk the floor, you can't eat, there's a pit in your stomach, and man, you're praying panicking prayers. Notice the disciples how they prayed. Lord, save us. And too many Christians have been praying panicking prayers, crying out, God, help my situation. Turn this around. Was Jesus pleased with the way they responded to the storm? He was very displeased. He said, why are you afraid? Now, you have to understand this. These were experienced fishermen. They knew how to swim. They've been to many a storm. No doubt they might have been overthrown in storms before, and they lived to tell the tale. It's part of a fisherman's life. But evidently, this storm was so bad they feared for their lives. No doubt it was satanic in nature. They've never seen a storm like that before. And they said, they woke him up and said, Lord, we are going to die. And it's easy to read the book and criticize them. But let's just paint this scenario. You're 30,000 feet in the air. All of a sudden you hear a boom. And smoke starts rolling into the cabin of the plane. And the captain comes on and says, oh my God, we're going to die. How would you respond? Lord, save us! Would Jesus be pleased with that prayer? Absolutely not. Why are you so fearful? And see, this is what he's dealing with. Too many of us are fearful and afraid of what we're going through. We're troubled. Every time a little trouble comes, we're troubled. We're full of fears and anxieties. We have no rest in our souls. And yet, God, we want to get to the other side. We want more of good things. And that's why God's saying, light and easy. Now, you want another tidbit? I got lots of them. Why could Jesus rebuke the storms and not the disciples? Because Jesus was at peace and rest. He was sleeping. He would have been fine if, you know, nothing happened to the storm. He knew he was so at rest. He was sleeping during the storm. I firmly believe that he knew the storm was going on. Because his disciples didn't wake him up and say, Lord, don't you know there's a storm? Right. It says, no, they said this, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? I'm a firm believer that he woke up, he saw the storm, went back to bed. And see, God needs us to get to this place that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, we sleep. We're at rest and peace. And the reason why Jesus could stand and rebuke the storms is because he was at peace. He was at rest. He was a place of faith. And the reason why disciples could not rebuke the storm because they were panicking, they were afraid. Brothers and sisters, too many times people have been praying scared prayers. And too many times Christians have tried to use their authority and it doesn't work. Why? They're afraid when they use the name of Jesus. They're afraid what the devil's doing. They're afraid of that pain. They're panicking and they panic in the name of Jesus and it doesn't work because they're not in a place of rest. Yeah. So I know that, you know, we like it when I talk about prayer and the move of God working in miracles. We'll never see it unless we get this taken care of. Yeah. We have to be in a place of rest. Do you all know Psalms 23? You ever heard of that one? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. If that word still waters literally means restful, means to be a place of rest. But you ever read the whole thing? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be full of fear and anxieties, and God deliver me. Please don't let me go there. No, I'll fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Over and over you read the Bible. What's the first thing God says? Fear not. Fear not. And here it says, when the Lord is my shepherd, no, though I have to go through things. You know, we go through things. We live in the valley of the shadow of death on earth. And there are things that we don't wish are going on. They're naturally troublesome. And yet, if the Lord is our shepherd, we're not afraid. For thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. And we can read on. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I think we want all the enemies to be gone. We want the storm to go away. We want the finances to be right before, oh yes, relief. That's unbelief. He says he prepares a table before us in the presence. That means right in the presence of the storm. We feast at the table. That's what Jesus did. Satan was huffing and puffing, trying to blow that boat down. And Jesus, oh. He was eating the table of peace and rest. Never allow Satan the privilege to see you squirm. All right. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Again, this is what the Holy Ghost is emphasizing. But Lord, we want more miracles. He's trying to get us into more miracles. That this has to be in place. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. In nothing be terrified by your adversaries. When the Bible says nothing, what's that mean? Nothing. You look it up in the Greek, it means nothing. Or don't allow anything. Notice, in nothing terrified or afraid or startled, unnerved by what? Your adversaries or whatever your adversary is doing. That's a commandment. That is just as much as commandment, thou shalt not lie, steal, or kill. What does it say? If the enemy is blowing smoke, trying to put your ship down, a storm, you're going through a storm, the Bible says, don't be afraid of anything he does to you. Yes. Now, notice what it says. In nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation that of God. Let me read the Amplified Bible. Do not for a moment be frightened. But you don't understand. The doctor said this. You don't understand. I'm about to lose my car. You don't understand what my kids are doing right now. In nothing, not for a moment, be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents or adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof, and seal of them impending destruction, and a sure token evidence of your deliverance and salvation, that of God. You know what this is saying? How you act and test determines if God will deliver you or not. Jesus on that boat, he was intimidated by the devil blowing his boat down. He was intimidated by the waves and by what it felt, how it looked. He was intimidated, frightened even for a moment. And that was the token, the sign that he's getting to the other side because he was fearless in the test. If Jesus was in that boat and it was just his disciples, they would have sunk and died. Because they were afraid, they were intimidated, they were panicking because of the severity of the test. Now, I like the God's Word translation. So don't let your opponents intimidate you in any way. Don't be startled, unnerved, no matter what the devil's doing. And I love how it puts into God's Word. This is God's way of showing them that they will be destroyed and you'll be saved. How do you know you're going to get through the test, whether you're at rest or not? If you're not at rest during your test, you'll not get through the test. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus is trying to say to us. That no matter what you're going through, be at rest. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. All right? How much time? I got to get going here. Romans 14, 17 says this, just for the sake of time. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Again, studying the scriptures under this revelation, it's opened up. Here, the Bible says, this is how the kingdom operates. This is how you work in the kingdom. How does the kingdom work? First of all, righteousness. That's how you get in the kingdom. He that knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. Right standing, our rights and privileges. We entered in through righteousness. The flow of the kingdom is righteousness. You cannot operate in the kingdom without righteousness. But notice what it says right after righteousness. Peace and joy. After he gets you born again and established as a child of God, your right and privileges, what is the flow of the kingdom? Peace and joy in everything. If you're not in peace and joy, you're not in the flow of the kingdom. You're under a burden, and that's the wrong yoke. Yeah. And, you know, the very next verse, it says, For he in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and proved to men. The word acceptable is very shallow in the King James. It actually means well-pleasing. Remember, the disciples, Jesus was not pleased at all because they didn't have peace and joy in the test. They were troubled. They were intimidated. But when you have joy and peace, no matter what goes on, that's what faith is. All joy and faith and believing, that is well-pleasing. All right. Turn with me to, you're in Philippians 1. Turn with me to Philippians 4. We know these scriptures, but we'll get more light concerning it. This is what the Holy Ghost is stressing to us. Light and easy, joy and peace. Everything, no matter what's going on. You're not intimidated. You're not afraid. You sleep in your test. You rejoice. No one can tell you're going through all hell because the kingdom flow is in you. Amen. You're delivering a death blow to this Satan. You know, you're full of joy and peace. You're eating and feasting in the presence of your enemies. Philippians 4:4. We read this, we quote this, but do you do it? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Always. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Really, verse 4 and 6 helps us understand how to flow in light and easy. What do verse 4 and 6 tell us? Light and easy is never troubled. Light and easy is always rejoicing. Now notice this. Rejoice in the Lord what? Always. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. That means never. You see the two absolutes. There is something that you should be doing always. Rejoicing. There's something you should never do. Be troubled, fearful, or anxious. Never. Never. And notice what it says, the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts in mind. And so let's just say I'm fixing closing up, but I'm just getting started. Let's start with the peace. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. I looked that word up in the Greek, nothing. You know what it means? Nothing. Careful means to be upset, fearful, worried, troubled, concerned, unnerved, intimidated. Your feathers are getting ruffled. Careful means anything other than peace that governs your life. And he says this, don't allow anything to take you out of peace. Nothing qualifies. But so many times we think that's unreasonable. You know, you that are parents, your kids are going through stuff. What's your natural tendency? The worry, concern? The Bible says, don't allow that. Nothing. Well, I just got a bad report from the doctor. Be careful for nothing. They gave me 3 days to live. Careful for nothing. That's unreasonable. This is a command of Jesus. Here, the disciples look like they're facing death in a storm. And he said, why are you fearful? In facing death, we're not to be afraid. Financial. Remember Jesus? Remember him? He said, take no thought for your life. You don't have anything to eat? Don't even worry about it. Don't even give a thought to that. You got nothing to wear? Don't even give a thought to that. Don't be afraid. You have no place to live? Give no thought. This is the standard of the kingdom of God. Peace and joy. And here, the absolute, careful for nothing. And so, why is that? Because if you're careful, you're troubled, you stop the hand of God. God cannot work. You cannot receive. It is not a place of faith. You know, people, you can pray, have 24-hour prayer meetings, but if you're afraid and you're troubled, your prayers aren't going to work. Be careful for nothing. See, this is what he's talking about, personal freedom. You know, we have a lot of light, a lot of knowledge. We know how to pray the prayer of faith. You know, the steps. But you do understand the prayer of faith won't work if you're not at rest. If you're troubled. And too many of us have been troubled. Little thing, a little speed bump in the road. Oh, my God. And we're not happy until that speed bump is smoothed out. And yet we want more. We want more of God. We want more of this. So we have to understand it's imperative to be careful for nothing. Yes. Parents, that means your children. You're about to be bankrupt. Careful for nothing. Jesus said this, by worrying, I go to add one cubit to your stature. Well, you're saying worrying about it is not going to help it, but worrying about it will make it worse. Why? What is worry? It's fear. Now, I know there's a lot of religion that teaches about the book of Job, but the book of Job is very clear. How did the devil get into Job's life being a covenant-blessed man? That which I greatly feared. You have to understand, fear opens the door to the devil. When you're troubled by something, you shut the door to God, you open the door to the devil. And can you see, this is why faith hasn't worked. that we're believing, we're confessing, and so forth, but we're afraid and wonder why it's not working for us. We've been rebuking the devil, but we've been doing it in a place of fear, not faith. Why? We're troubled. How many know we got our homework for the rest of our lives? And just this year, over and over, you know, I'm troubled about stuff that last year, if you asked me, no, I'm not troubled about that. Because now I have more light. Nothing, absolutely nothing is worthy of troubling. Well, how do you know if you're troubled? If you're thinking about it, what? You're troubled about it. You're worried about it. And sometimes we think we have a right to rehearsing. No, you're troubled. Jesus said, take no thought. We have to be in a place of peace. No matter what. No matter what. That's why he says, when the enemy comes, be troubled for nothing. Your adversary is causing trouble. You know, if you're a pastor, your church is about to split three ways. And, you know, the big tithers just left. Nothing. Nothing rocks your boat. You go, nothing. All right. Now, since my time is slipping away, let's look at the other part. Remember, these two verses, never troubled. Never. No matter what. Troubled. Always rejoicing. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
Always. We know this. When it's good, when it's bad, and when it gets downright ugly, what are we to do?
Rejoice.
Rejoice in the Lord. The Amplified says, delight and gladden yourselves. And so, always, when all hell is breaking loose, when you get a bad report, when the finances just isn't there, your congregation are doing weird things, rejoice. Rejoice. How many know this is your answer? No, I want pastor to pray to get these tests drawn. No, you rejoice in the presence of your enemies. You don't give them the privilege of seeing you squirm. You make them squirm. You know, of late, you know, because of certain things I'm getting to, great door and factual, there are many adversaries. I tell you, I'll get an attack right in a service and you know, when I'm traveling. And my wife can bear witness. I mean, just spirits. There's one thing, just be troubled circumstance. And when you have demons enforcing it, it's like magnified 100 times. And, of course, I will do my confessions and resist that. But then I'll just start to rejoice in God. The Bible says he'll give you the spirit of praise for what? The spirit of heaviness. That means praise will always trump heaviness. You're heavy, you praise your way out of it. And, you know, my wife knows if I start getting a little giddy in praise and worship, that something's attacking me. And, you know, we were in Randy Greer's meeting. That was in Gatlinburg. And, I mean, I was attacked. I mean, right there, it was just so heavy. And we got to the hotel room. And, of course, it's late, so I'm going to the bathroom, and I say, praise God, hallelujah. I start delighting myself in the Lord, glory to God. Why? He gives me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'm rejoicing. I'm delighting myself in God. And the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. The anointing comes, and I begin to praise him and thank him. And then I get to a place where that joy, that strength, anointing breaks that thing off. And that's where most people stop. I don't have enough sense to stop. That demon jumps off me and walks away. I says, don't you go anywhere. You sit down here. You were fool enough to mess with me. And I says, I command you in Jesus' name. You stay right there. And I just continue on. And I start feasting. And he says, I'm making you watch. Isn't that true? Yeah. I start praising. And I start doing a Holy Ghost dance. And Gloria says, don't you go anywhere. You got to watch this. Nothing intimidated. greater is He that is in you. See, we get so afraid. You do remember the Wizard of Oz. I am the Wizard of Oz. See, that's what the devil does in your mind concerning your circumstance. But what happened when Toto removed the veil? He was a powerless little man. That's what demons are. You're in charge, not them. You are the victor, not the victim. Greater is He that is in you. Act like it. Nothing intimidated by your adversaries. All right. I'm fixing to close. Addendum 2. I know you've never heard this scripture, but in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In verse 2, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. We understand that's tests, trials. Notice, we hear rejoice in the Lord always, and here he specifically says, when you're in a test and trial, what do you do? You count it all joy. Now, naturally, isn't it joy? You counted a joy. Now notice he didn't just say counted joy. He said counted all. All joy. All joy. And you know, I never saw this before, and I was meditating, looking at other translations. And when it says all joy, the Amplified says consider it nothing but joy. Now this is sweet. The Weiss translation, which I love because he was a Greek scholar, he says this, consider it a matter of unadulterated joy without any a mixture of sorrow. What's that mean? When you're going to test trial, it is absolutely nothing but joy for you. Absolutely nothing but peace for you. Not even a sliver of disappointment. Not a sliver of sorrow. Not a sliver of intimidation. Fullness. Nothing but joy. That's how you win. That's how you get to the other side. Absolutely nothing intimidated. This is all joy to me. The Spirit speaketh expressly. And nothing be troubled. And always rejoicing. And we could say more, but that's a good place to stop. We got our homework for the rest of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you want more grace, if you want more God, this must be in place. Personal freedom. Hallelujah. It is the flow of the kingdom. After you're made born again righteous, it's peace and joy. Peace and joy. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen.